So I don't know if you remember last week's sermon, but I read of Paul's description of the battles that he went through. And I did that because they were real. And sometimes the battles that we face, we don't want to necessarily talk about because there's a stigma attached. You know, one of the things that Paul did do was he wrote and said that at points while he was in jail, all forsook him, all left. There's a fear that we have when we go through a storm that people in not understanding are going to avoid us. And because we have that fear, maybe we just don't want to talk about it. Or maybe we have a fear that if we bring it up, then God says, you're speaking it with your mouth, therefore it's only going to get worse for you. I just don't understand why people want to serve a God like that. Oh, you said that. You said you were hurting. That means that God's going to have to punish you more because you confessed it. That doesn't mean you walk around negative. But Paul said, clearly, people left him. Everybody identifies with a winner. Everybody wants to identify with what wins, not loses. That's why I'm a Packer fan. Couldn't resist. What happens when you don't win? What happens when you appear to lose? And as I said, everybody has been through something in their life. Everybody. What happens when you lose? How do you deal with that? How do people deal with life? Well, I have to pick the most obvious choice in all of the Bible, right? You're my favorite man, Job. Job. So I'm going to ask you to look at Job chapter 1. And I want to read to you verse 8. Father God and Satan are having a discussion. The Lord says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds are spread out throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So Satan was allowed to do that. He was allowed to take everything in the world away from Job. All his possessions, all his houses, all his money, all of his family, except his wife. Can I explain that to you? No. Do I understand God in this situation? No, I don't. And I think we're wrong and have been wrong and heard many ministers talk about it, that there's a reason that this happened to Job because he stated that his worst fear came upon him. If anybody here as a parent wouldn't have a fear of losing their child, I'd have to get your head examined. What do you mean your worst fear? Well, that's happened because your worst fear. I wouldn't want to lose either a child or a grandchild. Why would I condemn a man because he had a fear of losing his family? So throw that argument right out the window, thus saith Ken. It's really not the gospel according to Ken, but sometimes I sound like that. Job lost everything. So I take you now to chapter 2, verse 3. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There was no one like him on earth. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Without reading the rest of that, Satan said, well, yeah, you didn't touch him. Let me touch him. Let me touch him. And he did. And he brought all kinds of sickness and all. He just was a mess. He just sat there. I don't even want to describe what he had. He was bad, right? Now, would you want God to have that much confidence in you? I mean, think about it. God's bragging on Job. Hey, he won't turn away from me. Satan says, really? Well, let me touch him. And God said, I know my man. I know my son. Now, let me say this to you. Have you ever been through a trial? Please understand, the heart of God says, I know you're going to survive it. I know you're going to be brought through. You lose a mate, you lose a house, you lose a job, as we've given testimonies of different people that lost their job and how God has restored those jobs, but there was a season in their life where they didn't know where that job was going to come from. Have you lost a child, lost someone you loved? And the enemy says, oh, they'll turn away because they serve the God that gives you everything. Now when you don't get it, they'll turn away. That's the confidence he has in us. It's like I would have for my son and daughter, my grandchildren, and even for you. But I speak of my own and say, I know who they are. I know they won't turn away. They have their own thoughts. They have their own ideals. I don't try to impart anything that way. But yeah, I just have this confidence, and especially in their love for me. I know they love me. It means something. And parents need to instill that part into their children. You know what? I know that you love me. Keep giving them the positive, not, you know, why'd you make this mistake? Why did you do this? Father God has confidence in us. Father God knows exactly how much we can handle. And if you've been through the point where it almost seemed like you couldn't, it was still there that God knew you could still come out of this a better person, stronger in your faith. He has confidence in me and in you. Through every struggle, through 28 years of this church, he has seen something in me that said, Ken won't quit. And I felt like it. But I'm also so aware that he had confidence in me that I don't want to disappoint him. Please understand, too, that he said there was a hedge around. Do you know you all would be dead if Satan had his own way? God is the source. God is the source. But I want to emphasize a word. God said, I know he has not lost his integrity. I want to talk about the word integrity. I'm even going to impress you because I looked it up on the internet with what the Hebrew word for integrity means. In the old days, I'd hear a pastor say, it means in Hebrew this, and I think, how'd they learn that? They looked it up. The word is T-H-O-M. Here's what it means. The word integrity, as given to Job by God, was this. He's fully complete, wholeness, honest, sincere. Sincere to me is, I learned that it is a Latin word. It means without pretense. Sincere means without any pretense. Genuine. True character. The Lord said to Job and said to Satan in the process, I know who he is because he's a man of integrity. Does that mean he sinned in his life? Of course he sinned. But he's a man of integrity. You don't want to lose your integrity. Now, you're going to be tempted to lose because in the position of losing everything he owned, including his children, he had only one person left, and that was his wife. And this is what she said in chapter 2, verse 9. His wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. Great advice. Now, I want to say this, and it's not to bash something. Forgive me if it sounds that way, but the phrase happy wife, happy life is not always applicable to everything. It is to letting them do what they want in the house. When I do a wedding, I look at the groom, and I just say, all you need to do is just say, yes, dear, period. And it'll be a great wedding, right? Because women have that all planned out. They want to make the walls pink. Yes, dear. That's not what I'm talking about. There are times, though, if Adam believed the phrase happy wife, happy life, he lost. Abraham. Sarah said, I want this child now. And I want it through this vehicle. And then she had the child and said, this is your fault, Abraham. And Job had a wife who asked the question, why are you trying to save your integrity? You know, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt despite all this. I'm going to say she looked at a husband she loved, that had children with and cared for, and she looked at him and saw that he was a broken piece of mess. And he was holding on, and she didn't even know why. What are you holding on to now? Everything's been taken from you. The biggest lie of the enemy when you go through a struggle is that God really doesn't care, and therefore, what worse can happen from this? And that's what she was looking at. It's like, why don't you just curse him and die? What does it mean to curse God? It means to blame God. It means to be angry at God. It means to look at God and say, okay, why the hurricanes? Why are people dying? That's what the world will do now. That's why I don't want to get bound up in giving them reasons why. Let's just love. Say, I know, it's painful. I'm not going to curse God, but I'm not going to doubt God either. That's the line walking into maturity as a believer that takes you to greater measures of his spirit that you have yet to see. See, every time you go through these situations where there is no answer and you don't give up, in fact, you say, I am going to stay the course. I'm going to remain strong. Then God is confident then in imparting to you even more of his spirit that sets people free. That's what I've been talking to you about. And it doesn't come until you learn how to be broken. I mean, Job was a broken man. It wasn't like he said, this doesn't bother me. I'm scraping sores. Take that, Satan. He didn't do that. He was a mess. He was a broken down mess. And his wife looked at him and said, it's not worth it. Curse God and die. His integrity, though, she was talking about. Numbers of years ago, I was asked to admit to something I didn't do to somehow keep something together. That's been brought to me through many years. You know, as a pastor, when there would had been a split in the church or something, people want to quickly blame. And when they blame, they want to just say, you were this, you were this, you were this, you were this, and point out my faults as if I didn't know I had faults. But there's points that the Lord was assuring me, this is not the reason this is all happening now. This is because of something in their heart. But maybe you just think in your mind, maybe if I just say, I'm sorry, it'll all go away. But what you do when you do that is you lose your integrity as a person. And then you become nothing and the enemy just destroys you. All of us have integrity and all of us need to hold on to it. We don't hold on to our sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. Now, I understand the righteousness of Christ and the standing we have in him. But the Bible says that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Meaning what? If I let my heart be the guide and not God, I'm in severe trouble. Because my heart is built upon emotions. And emotions are built upon the circumstance. And the circumstances can just wear a person out. Your integrity is that part of you that knows your God. Now, the word integrity, that word T-H-O-M, also is a word that comes into play with the Urim and Thummim. Anybody ever hear of the Urim and Thummim? Raise your hand. I'm going to see how many Hebrew scholars we have. Urim and Thummim, right? Urim and Thummim, I'd ask the second question, how many know what it did? And you couldn't raise your hand because nobody knows. They know what the principle of it was, but they don't really know how it worked. But the priest would have on his breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. The Urim meant light. The Urim meant light. The Thummim, and it's hard to say that, Thummim, means completeness. Urim means light. Thummim means completeness. So when something is measured by the Urim and the Thummim, what is brought to light is your integrity and the completeness of that integrity in your life. Meaning, for example, let me take you to Psalm 78 for a second. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 70. You know you're getting a teaching today. You all are going to know what the Thummim is after this too. In 78:70, it says, God chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending sheep, he brought him to be shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart and skillful hands, he led them. Do you know that David sinned? Yes, right? More than once, actually. Yes, he did. So how was this scripture written that David had integrity of heart when the man committed adultery and murder and turned away from his son for a season as well, didn't deal with a rape in his daughter's house with his daughter? How in the world is this man full of integrity? Because whenever anything was brought to the light in David's life, he knew it was wrong. He let it go. He confessed it. To be complete. Let me give you New Testament scripture. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5. Give me a second to look for it. Got it? 1 John 1 verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So let's be clear. David sinned, but he always, in the light of the kingdom, in the light of God, he saw his sin. He repented of it. He was probably, I can bet the house on this, and I don't bet, so you don't judge me. I can bet the house on this, it's just an old phrase, that somewhere along the line, people said to David, you got to step down. Right? Can you believe that? Come on, you sinned. Step down. You are not now king. You are less than a king. You are this, you are this, you are this. And in the midst of that, David had to know his God. And his integrity was, despite my sin, I have asked forgiveness. Now I'm in the light of his truth. I am not going to resist. I'm going to resist what would say to me, walk away. Let go. Quit. You are always going to face sin. The Bible says that everyone sins. When you confess your sins, he forgives your sins. He said when we walk in the light, we can have fellowship with one another. Why? Because you don't have a mask anymore. The problem we have is we want to put a mask up around us, and we don't know how long to keep that mask up. People don't want to get close to one another in today's world. They'd rather just stay apart, say hi in the stores, say hi in church, and walk away. People aren't meeting, connecting, having dinner, because they know if they have dinner, they got to invite somebody over, and that person's going to look and see dust on the cabinet and say, this place is filthy, and you are going to be judged accordingly. If that doesn't happen, you have a fear of it happening. You have a fear of people thinking about you the wrong way. So you protect and guard yourself and with emotion and with flesh that says, I will not be moved. I will not go there. Meanwhile, what that does is that eliminates you from your true identity, because you were made to be together with other people besides your family. You were made with a gift from God as a believer to help in the body of Christ. Everyone here, no matter who you are and how quiet you are, how reserved you are, have something to offer, because the word says that you do. Therefore, when you walk in the light, you no longer hold on to what other people have said about you, to the sins that maybe you committed and were forgiven, but you're still beating yourself up over it. And you start to lose your identity, and you lose integrity. And I'm getting back to my story now. When I was asked those years ago, just admit to this and things will be better, the Lord spoke to me through that verse that day in my daily reading. Job's wife said, why are you trying to save your integrity? Curse God and die. And Job would not do it. It's like the man or anybody in prison that they say to them who could be innocent, is innocent, and they're told, go before the parole board and just admit that you did it, say you're sorry, and you'll be out in a year. Don't do that, and you'll be in here for 10 more years. And they say, no, I cannot lose my integrity. I know in my heart I didn't do it. Recognizing most people in prison all believe they're innocent. But there are people there that are innocent. that just had the same face as somebody else, same color of skin as somebody else, and they were put there unjustifiably, and now they have a battle. Because they can say, okay, I did it, I'm sorry, and they get out of jail free. But deep in their hearts, that's their integrity. I did not do this. Your integrity is what you know about you. It says to be true. Well, it's a phrase if it's not a Bible verse. Be true to yourself, but true to your God. You will be ineffective in loving others if you're not even true to yourself. So what curses have been put over you, even if justified. You see, if I lay all my sins out of me as a pastor, what I haven't done, I won't be a pastor. Not because I've had some major sin, I didn't kill anybody, but because through the years, I've neglected this, not done this, been tired and maybe ignored this. Maybe not love somebody that the Lord said to love, even though they hated my guts. And through all that time, I would have enough sins accumulated, even forgiven though, where I could say, I'm not qualified to be here today. Then if the church somehow has a problem and disintegrates, I can then say, I knew it was all my fault anyway. And I lose the strength to be a dad, to be a grandfather, and to be a friend, and to be a pastor. I have to know who I am. And then when I sin, I put it before the light of God. He reveals that sin. I confess that sin. And then I move on. Where I want to go with this in the next couple weeks, not next week, but in the next couple weeks, is how Job's friends took the word of God and sought to destroy Job with their logic. People have been wounded and destroyed because somebody else took the first stone. We're to judge. Bible says not to, we're going to judge. Got to judge. Can't just let sin abound. I got to tell them. You might as well just take that dart and throw it. If God so sovereignly wants you to be addressing that sin, he will have you so broken that by the time you get to that person, you only want to love them and sharing your heart. What is it that we need to do? How do we save our integrity? Do you know that you have integrity? Because the circumstances for Job said otherwise, and the easy way out would have been to just say, okay, God, I don't like this anymore. Just take me. Kill me. And people do today. They commit suicide. They take enough drugs to commit suicide. They do put themselves in wrong actions to commit suicide because they've lost their integrity. You see it in their eyes. We blame addictions, and addictions have a big role in it, but bottom line is they don't have any integrity. You go downtown and you see people that are homeless. They don't have integrity anymore. They know who they are. They've lost it. You go to New York City. I don't have to have gone. I know it's there. People, blind, just aimless. Those people that walk up and down asking for money on every street corner right now, they don't have any integrity. I'm not ripping on them. I'm telling you that a lot of times they don't have anything inside that feels good about themselves. They're just going to survive. The woman at the well didn't have any integrity. Of course she had five husbands. We all know that. She didn't have any integrity. So when Jesus came to her and sat down, he started to give her validation. What are you doing sitting here? You're a Jew. You're a man. And you're sitting here with me. Yeah, I want to validate you. When you come together and you sit with one another, you validate that person. They feel important now because somebody cared in their life. So when I walk in the light, I can have fellowship with one another. Because I'm not hiding anything from me. You get what you get. I don't even mind being real, to tell you the truth. I got nothing to lose. Yes, I've yelled at cars. But you who are without sin, throw that first up. No, just kidding. No, I don't want to yell at cars. Just drove the other day. Guy thought he was too close to me. I was too close to him. He just starts breaking. I'm getting very upset about that. And in love, I said, bless you, brother. Oh, no. I said, move! Lord said, am I disqualified from the kingdom now? Did I lose my salvation? Right? No, I just made a mistake. I made a sin, and God wanted me to put it in front of the light, him, and move on.
Just a basic Pittsburgh driver.
Yes.
Yeah,
Thank you, Dr. Michael Staples, who will be with us in 3 weeks speaking. I could drive home a final point. I'll say it this way. First of all, be true to God. Walk circumspectly before Him. But trust His control. Trust His control. When you begin to ask too many questions and you try to figure out answers, you become like Job's friends, even to yourself. Sometimes you have to just say, I don't understand. But He's my God. He's my dad. And I love Him. Trust His control. Secondly, be true to yourself. Don't allow the circumstance to regulate your measure of faith. Because I heard it said, and I think it's true, sadly. It sounds almost depressing. But Bishop Garlington said, you're either about to go into a trial, or you're in a trial, or you just come out of one. Pretty well true. Measure of trials, of course, but pretty well true. Be true to yourself. Deal with what you need to deal with, but don't condemn who you are. Don't condemn. You have integrity given to you by God. Hold it. Hold it. I know as a pastor, I read the words of Samuel when he spoke to the people after he had been released of his position. And he said, this is what I've done for you. I love you. And he quit. He knew his heart. He knew what he did. I can't stand before you and say I've been a perfect pastor, but I can stand before you and say I've given it my best at times. I want it to work. I pray for it to work. I ask you to help me to make it work. What's your integrity? Think about it. What do you have? What do you hold on to? Do you believe you're not a good mother because your child just starts acting up? Do you believe you're not a good father because your son gives you a backhanded, sarcastic remark? Your integrity is that you are a good father. They just got a problem at the moment. You have integrity. Job would not let go of his integrity, and it brought him through the trial, and God blessed him. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, and He will renew your strength, and He will take care of what is not there now. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for all that you are. I just honor you as being Father, as being God. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us something inside of us to hold on to, our integrity. You've given us, Lord, an identity. You've given us a hope and a future. And even now, Lord, despite what we think with our head and see circumstantially, we do not hold on to what we see with our eyes and hear with our ears. We hold on to your word. Release those, Lord, who are bound by other curses, other words, other thoughts. Let them see themselves through your eyes by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.